Good morning. I add my words of appreciation to those that have already been spoken, for the presence of all that are here. When I started, I didn't have my microphone on, so giving those guys back there a little bit of encouragement to keep on their toes. Good to see everybody here this morning. We have a good audience assembled, most of our numbers and visitors. If you're visiting with us, I want you to know that we're happy that you've come our way. And we invite you to come and be back with us every opportunity that you have. Well, seeing the smiles on all these young people's faces, I can tell that school is out. And congratulations on another year of completed work, unless you're going to summer school. And then we'll delay that for about a month. But I know you've worked hard, and life progresses, and you got another year coming up, and that is wonderful, but you got some time off, and I know you're happy about that. I assume that you are, if you're like we were in our day and time. Those 3 months off were the best days of the year, best months of the year, and we look forward to those, and hope you have a good time. I know that there will be a number of folks who will be leaving us. So it's always during the summer, a rough time. For number-wise, because you have people in and out, going on vacations and things of that nature. And if you're going to be gone, I hope that you have a wonderful time and that you come back to us safely. Amy and I were on vacation last week, as you know, because Sean Briggs was here preaching. We went to Savannah, Georgia and Charleston, South Carolina for a few days. Learned a lot of stuff going to those historic places. We learned that the fried shrimp is really good, and Paula Deen's restaurant has good fried chicken, all those kind of wonderful things that you learn when you're on vacation. But it's good to be back with you. Enjoyed our time there, went to church in Beaufort. I don't know if it was Georgia or South Carolina. It was in between Savannah and Charleston, and had a good worship service with those folks. But always good to be back home and to be among the people that we love. This morning we're going to be talking about time. And time is important to us. Human existence is measured by time. Everything about us has some kind of a time element attached to it. Really, you can, I guess, say that we are consumed by time. Our existence is measured by time. We measure time by decades, well, millenniums, and then centuries, and then decades, and then years, and then months, and then days, and then hours and minutes, and now milliseconds. We measure time by time. We're just a people who are totally dependent upon time. And so we ask important questions about time. What time is it? We oftentimes want to know. When does it begin? And when does it end? How much time is it going to take? And one of the most important questions that we consider for ourselves in the grand scheme of things is, how much time do we have left? You see, time is important to us in the conducting of physical things of life. But I'll tell you, the Bible tells us that time is important as well in the spiritual things of life. The Bible says a lot about time. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very beginning words of God's message to us are about time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, we find one of many promises that there is an end coming. So we have a beginning of time and we have an end of time. And in the meantime, life is passing quickly. Like a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, time passes for us. And in Revelation 22 and verse 20, the final statement of Jesus Christ that is recorded in the Word of God is a statement of, about time, and whether he's talking there in that passage about his coming and destruction against Jerusalem, which I believe is a possibility. He's talking about the end of time. His promise is that his coming is sure, and he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." In this lesson, I want to cover the Bible's message about time by answering the question, what time is it, from a spiritual perspective? What time is it spiritually? Well, the Bible describes the times that we live in as the last days, or the latter days, or the last times or last days. In such Old Testament passages as Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, Daniel 2 and verse 28, and Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5, and Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, we have a promise of a time of last days or latter times. And in every one of these passages, the Old Testament prophets are looking forward to those latter times. There in Isaiah 2 and verse 2, "In the last days the Lord will set up the mountain of His house at the top of the mountain," speaking of the establishment of the kingdom of Jesus Christ that is higher than all of the other kingdoms of the world. That message is also found in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 28, in the midst of Daniel's explanation of the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had had. And he points out these great nations, these empires that would rule, beginning with Babylon and going through the Medo-Persians and the Greeks and the Romans. And he talks about in the time of the Romans as being the latter days that he's looking forward to. Again, when a kingdom will be established. Hosea 3 and verse 5. "At that time, Israel will esteem God and be obedient to Him." And then in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. An echo of the thought of Isaiah 2 and verse 2. "The mountain of the Lord's house will be established in those latter times and latter days." But then in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we find that this idea of the last days or latter days or latter times is not spoken of as something that is in the future, but rather it is something that has arrived. In Acts chapter 2, that day of Pentecost when the apostles received this indwelling of the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, and people were wondering what was that speaking in tongues all about. Peter, it says, stands up with the other 11 apostles and he explains what's going on. And he goes back to the prophet Joel. And he says, what's happening today is the things that Joel prophesied about. What did Joel say? "It shall come to pass in the last days," said God. Peter says, now, those things that were talked about by Isaiah, those things that were mentioned by Daniel and by Hosea and by Micah, this is the time that they were looking at, beginning there in Acts chapter 2. The establishment of the church. And so in his sermon on Pentecost, Peter makes it clear that the last days, the latter times, have arrived. And so the scripture after Acts 2 speaks of this time that we are now in as the last days or last times. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 begins, "In these last days." 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, "In these last times." What Christ has been manifested in these last times. In 1 John 2 and verse 18, the appearance of many antichrists, he says, that is evidence that we are now in these last times. He says it is the last hours. And we know that it is because of that evidence. And then in Jude verse 18, speaking of ungodly and lustful mockers who have infiltrated the church, he says that the apostles had spoken about these things that would happen in the last time or the last days. And so after Acts chapter 2, the last days or the latter times are a reality, not something looking forward to in the future, but the here and now. We are clearly in the last times, the latter and last days. And we have been for the last 2,000 years. But what does that mean? When the Bible says that these latter times were coming and the Bible says that they're here and we're now in them, what is the significance of that? Well, very simply, it means that after these days, there will be no more. Oftentimes, those who reject the idea that we have been in the last days for the last 2,000 years say, well, if the last days started 2,000 years ago, then how could we possibly call them the last days? They are 2,000 years, that's a long time. So how could that be the last days? Well, here's the answer to that. The last days speak of finality. That is something that is happening that there will be nothing like it again, and not of longevity. I like to snack on almonds. And for that reason, Amy buys almonds pretty much by the truckload. And I go through them pretty quickly. Every once in a while, Amy will say to me, that now, this bucket of almonds that I have bought from Sam's, these are the last almonds. And by that, she doesn't mean that there are just a few left. What she means by that is, after you have finished this bucket, there is no other bucket. That's it. That's all that there is. It is the end of the almonds. When you come to the end of these, it may last a week, it may last several weeks, it may last several months. If I get off the almond kick, they may be in there for several years. But they're still the last almonds. And that's the point of last days. There may be a bunch of days left, but when these days are over, there will be no more days. The Bible speaks of three distinct spiritual days or ages, or what we sometimes call dispensations. And that's simply a big word that means the way that God gave His law. There's first of all the patriarchal days. The patriarchal days were from Adam to Moses for everyone, and from Adam to Christ for the Gentile world. And that is when God gave all of His law to mankind through patriarchs, through the heads of households. And then there is the Mosaic days, from Moses to Christ, when God gave His laws specifically to the children of Israel, to the Jews, at Mount Sinai through Moses. And then there is the gospel days. And the gospel days is from Jesus Christ onward, when God again gave His law to all men through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, the point of the gospel days being the last days, well, that means that after the gospel days are over, there will be no more days. We are in the final age of mankind's existence on this earth. And so we ask the question, as we oftentimes ask, when we're considering time. How long will this last? How long are these last days going to last? Well, in answer to that, go over to Matthew chapter 24. In the passage that Luke read for us this morning before the sermon, Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 35, he talks about heaven and earth passing away. And he says, of that day and hour, no one knows. He says, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What's he saying there? He's saying, you don't know when the last days are going to be over. And I don't know when the last days are going to be over. And the angels in heaven don't know when the last days are going to be over. The only person, the only being that knows when the last days are going to be over is God. And that accords well with what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10. When he says concerning the end of this world, which is the end of the last days, he says it's coming like a thief in the night. What? No signs? No warnings? And someone asks, well, isn't Matthew chapter 24, isn't that first, at least that first 34 verses, isn't that talking about the end of the last days when this age will be over? And the answer to that is no, it is not. You go to the first of Matthew chapter 24, and you see that that's not the question, really, that they ask Jesus. Jesus makes a point about the destruction of the temple because they had pointed out what a glorious thing the temple was. And Jesus says there's coming a day when that this temple that you see, that you're so proud of and that seems so indestructible, there's going to come a time when it is no more. And when Jesus speaks it, it's about 40 years away when the temple would be destroyed. And so he talks there in that first part of chapter 24 about the fact that this temple is going to be destroyed there in Jerusalem, that the Romans are coming to do it, and that you can know when it's going to be destroyed because God is going to give you signs. And those who have trust in God, who are followers of Jesus Christ, can see the things that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24, and they can understand just exactly when the destruction of Jerusalem is going to be. But at verse 35, there's a change. No longer is he talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now he's talking about the destruction of the world when heaven and earth passes away. He says that's not going to be like the destruction of Jerusalem. Destruction of Jerusalem is going to have a lot of signs attached to it, a lot of warnings for you so that you can leave Jerusalem and you can be out of there. And yes, that's what happened with Christians. They got out of town before Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman armies. He says that's not going to be the case at the end of the world, at the end of these last days. No warnings. He says there in that passage, it's going to be like the days of Noah. When there was no warning that came, people were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and all these kind of things and life seemed to be going on like life always goes on, and all of a sudden destruction came. God destroyed the world with a flood and it happened so quickly and unexpectedly. And Jesus says that's going to be the way it is. At the end of the world, at the end of these last days. No signs, no warnings, like a thief in the night. Like the coming of the flood is going to be unannounced. And so we don't know how long the last days are going to last. We know when they started in Acts chapter 2 on that day of Pentecost. We don't know when they're going to end. And the point of that is beware of anybody who tells you that they see the signs and that and their insight into the signs and the warnings that are found in the Old and the New Testament, they have determined that that the time of the end is very near. People have been making that claim since the Bible first talked about the end of the world. People have been saying, I can see it coming. Here's the evidence of it. And yet Jesus says there is no evidence of it. There are no signs about it. It's going to come suddenly. It's going to come without warning. So what is the significance for us that we are in the last days? What time is it for us in our relationship with God? Well, there are a number of passages that talk about what time it is. First of all, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Turn over to that passage and read it along with me. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. The Hebrew writer says, we are in the last days. We are in those latter times that the Old Testament talked about. And what that means for us is that we're not going to the Old Testament to find out what we're supposed to do. We're not looking at the Ten Commandments that were given to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. We're not paying attention to what God gave to the patriarchs in the Old Testament. Oh, we can learn lessons from those things, and it's good to study those things, but that's not where our authority is. He says, we're in the last days, and what that means is Jesus Christ has authority, God speaking through His Son, and we need to listen to Jesus Christ. What a shame is we live in a society where so few have any concern about what Jesus has said. No concern at all about the things that Jesus talked about and the desires that Jesus expressed and the commands that Jesus gave. The Hebrew writer says, these are the last days. You better be listening to what Jesus Christ has said. And so you go over to chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What if the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. He says if those Old Testament people, those people who listened to Isaiah prophesy, those people who listened to Jeremiah, those people who listened to the 12 minor prophets, he says if they ignored what those prophets said, back in the Old Testament system, and they were destroyed for it, what does that say about us and our need to listen to what the Son of God has? You see, Isaiah wasn't the Son of God. He was a prophet of God. Amos wasn't the Son of God. He was a prophet of God. And because he was a prophet of God, the children of Israel were expected to listen to him. And the consequences were dire if they did not listen to him. And the Hebrew writer says, if that is so, and now you've got the word of the Son of God, how much more should it be impressed on our minds that we need to be listening to what He is saying? What time is it? It's time to listen to Jesus Christ. We're in the latter days, and that means it's time to be reconciled to God by obedience to the gospel. Go over to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Says, we then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. He quotes Isaiah here from Isaiah chapter 48. And he says, Isaiah is talking about a time that is coming when it is acceptable to God that we come to Him for salvation. And what he says is, that's now. What Isaiah was looking forward to, that's now. What all those Old Testament prophets were looking forward to, when God would establish the kingdom of His Son and all nations would flow into that kingdom through obedience to God, he says, that's now. Now is the acceptable time, he says. Now is the day of salvation. What time is it? It is time to be reconciled to God by obedience to the gospel. Thirdly, it is time to be watchful. It is time to be wise. And it is time to be worshipful. You go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, and that's the point that Paul is making there in that passage. And we see the same kind of urgency that is placed upon us as children of God, that is placed upon those who are not children of God to become children. He says it's the last days, and we don't know when these days are going to end. Therefore, if you've not yet been obedient to the gospel, if you've not become a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Because you don't know how much time you have left. He says the same thing about us who are Christians. He says, right now is not the time to rest on your laurels. Right now is not the time to take for granted what you have in God. Now is not the time to be a lazy Christian. Now is the time to be watchful. Now is the time to be wise. Now is the time to be worshipful. He says in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Listen to it. Redeeming the time. You don't have that much time left. And he says you need to be redeeming it. You need to be buying it back. You need to be doing everything you can do with the time you have left. To be sure that you are watching as God would have you to watch. That you are being wise as God would have you to be wise. And that you are being worshipful, as he talks about in verses 19 and 20. What time is it? It's time to watch out for your soul. It's time to be wise about the things of God versus the things of the world. It's time to worship God. Worshiping fervently, worshiping with thanksgiving and with honor and respect. We're in the last days. And so what that means is, it is also urgent that we be evangelistic. In Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2, he says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside." Again, what? Redeeming the time. Use the time that God has given to you. Redeeming the time, he says. And then I lost my place. Somebody tell me where. Oh, here I am. Verse 6. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." He's talking about being evangelistic there. He's talking about making the necessary preparations so that, as Peter says later on, when someone asks you the reason for the hope that is in you, you can give them an answer. And it'll be a good answer. And it'll be a helpful answer. It'll be an answer that'll help them to be obedient to the gospel as you've been obedient to the gospel. We're in the last days. And we don't know when those last days are going to be over. Therefore, it is important for each and every one of us to be as evangelistic as we possibly can, to be willing to share the gospel that saved us with others who need that same salvation. And so we are in the last days, plural. But one day will be the very last day, singular. The last days, plural. The last days, plural, are a time of opportunity. They're a time of opportunity to listen to Jesus Christ. They are a time of opportunity to obey the gospel. They are a time of opportunity to be wise and watchful and worshipful. They're a time of opportunity to share your faith with other people. But then there is a last day coming. And the description in the Word of God about that last day is not that it's going to be a day of opportunities like the last days that we are in now. But it is rather going to be a day of judgment. Listen to Jesus describe it as He talks about that final hour that is coming. In John chapter 5 and verse 28, He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." You see, you're going to be raised from the dead on the last day. The question is, are you going to be raised to eternal life? Or are you going to be raised to eternal condemnation? That's what's going to happen on the last day. What happens to you on the last day is dependent upon what you are doing now in the last days, plural. You need to obey the gospel. Obey the gospel. And do it now, because you don't know. This may be the last day. When you stand before this day is over, at the judgment throne of Jesus Christ, and give an account for how you have reacted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you need to obey the gospel, obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Let us baptize you into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Now's your opportunity. Now's your opportunity to live as a Christian the faithful life that God would have you to live. And if you haven't done it, to seek His forgiveness. And we can help you to do that this morning. You're accepting the invitation of Jesus Christ to come to Him in these last days so that you can have assurance of standing before Him just and right in the last day. We can help you. Let us know how we can by coming forward right now. Once together we stand and sing.